book of Samuel, chapter 6, reading verses 1 to 5 and 12 to 19. It is on the screen, but if you want to follow it in a church Bible, David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David and all the people with him set out and went from Baal Judah to bring up from there hosts, who was enthroned on the cherubim. They carried the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were driving the new cart with the ark of God, and Ahio went in front of the ark. David and all the house of Israel were dancing before the Lord with all their might, with songs and lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. It was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced before the Lord with all his might. David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed food among all the people, and the whole of multitude of Israel, both men and women, to each a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people went back to their homes. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Mark chapter 6, verses 14 to 29, which is on page 817 in your Bibles. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, "John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him." But others said, "It is Elijah." And others said, "It is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests, and the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you even half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord. Father, through the written word and the spoken word, open our eyes to the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please do sit down. The story of King David and the Ark of the Covenant is quite a story. We've only just heard part of it, but here's a brief recap for you. David was anointed king of Israel by the prophet Samuel back around 1025 BC. But it wasn't until 15 years later that he was made king over all of Israel. His crowning followed a multi-year struggle between David and those who were loyal to the house of Saul. And soon after he officially became king, David and his army twice defeated their enemies, the Philistines. They defeated the Jebusites, who were the people who were living in Jerusalem. And this meant now that the Israelites would be able to call the city of Jerusalem their home. Once the nation of Israel had set up home in Jerusalem, David was determined to invite God into their midst in Jerusalem. So he set about bringing back the Ark of the Covenant from its resting place in the land of the Philistines. And the Ark of the Covenant, though it looked like a wooden box, was really important because it was the physical symbol of God's presence with the people of Israel. And the Ark of the Covenant is described as a rectangular box, not quite 4 feet in length, a little over 2 feet in depth and width, constructed of wood and plated with gold. Its lid of solid gold was called the mercy seat. Two cherubim, angel-like figures at either end, frame the space around the central mercy seat from which God's word was honored. And inside the ark, there were three items: the tablets of stone that Moses had delivered to the people from Sinai, a jar of manna from the wilderness years of wandering, and Aaron's rod. And these objects were the reminding evidence that God was working among the people of Israel. God was commanding them through the tablets, God was providing for them through the manna, and God was saving them through the rod. So the ark was the center of their worship, giving them a historical focus to God, the God that they worshipped, being revealed among them. So the passage today tells us the story of King David going off to retrieve the ark. He takes an army of 30,000 men with him. And they put it on a cart and they guided it towards Jerusalem. And throughout the journey, as they bring that physical reminder of God's presence with them back to Jerusalem, they were celebrating by dancing, playing instruments like harps and cymbals, making a real loud and merry noise. And partway through their journey, though, something happened that's not told in that reading. One of the soldiers with David, a man called Uzziah, touched the ark, something that was considered so disrespectful, and he was struck down and died beside the ark. David didn't understand this, so he got angry and he gave in on the task in hand, leaving the ark in another place. But 3 months later, he realized that the place where the ark had been left had been really blessed by its presence. So he went back and got on with his job of bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And all along the way, as the people continued to dance and sing, the bull and the fattened calf were sacrificed as a praise offering to God. And when David finally succeeded in the task of bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, he joyfully danced in his linen ephod in front of all the people. Translate that as he was dancing in his underwear. He was dancing in his underwear before the Lord with all his might as the ark entered Jerusalem. And so many people have tried to interpret this passage and its meaning in different ways. What is significant throughout that passage, though, is it's all about a life of faith. It reveals things known about King David. Some say that the sight of him dancing in the street was a political sort of move made to strengthen his power as the king. And other people might say that David was participating in some kind of cultic worship that wasn't in line with the Jewish religious traditions of the day. And others might say that David was simply wanting to be the center of attention, putting his physical attractiveness on display. And they're all valid points, and we could all go on and interpret that particular passage in different ways. But it just shows how excited that army of 30,000 people were as they brought the Ark of the Covenant with them back to the city of Jerusalem. God's real presence with them. God carried joyfully in their midst, their worship vibrant and exciting as they worshipped the God who dwelt with them and the God who provided for them in so many different ways. Completely reliant on God for all their needs, their only response is that of praise and thanksgiving. So we could say that whole passage into Samuel is a story about worship. It's about the act of worship, and in its own way, it's also talking to us about how we can worship. The image of David dancing in the street is an image of a man who is worshipping God. And unlike Uzziah, who touched the Ark of the Covenant, David's worship involved him surrendering complete control. It doesn't matter if his motives were pure or if he was, in fact, wanting to show himself off. It doesn't matter if it was against the religious order of the day. David simply found joy in bringing the Ark of the Covenant home to Jerusalem. And so he did what he felt was appropriate when he was filled with joy, filled with the Spirit. He could do nothing but worship God. Singing and dancing was the praise that he felt he could offer God. Maybe we could say that in all of that, David was maybe slain by the Spirit. It's quite a broken and beautiful image of this king suddenly dancing around in the street and worshipping God. Maybe it's not an image that sits particularly comfortably with us. We always like to have someone to revere. Quite often, that's who we are. We like someone up above us. But David delighted in God, and that's who we are. We too are people who delight in God. And we are the people that God delights and loves in return. Maybe in many ways, like David, we can present both a beautiful but also a broken image at times. But we are the broken and beautiful people who are made whole by our worship of God. Doesn't matter what our motives are when we come before God. Sometimes it doesn't even matter if we have doubts. Doubts are natural. Doubts will always creep into our lives at different points. Also, it doesn't matter if at times when we worship, we can feel that we're angry with God, if we're too preoccupied again with our stuff. But if we offer ourselves to God in worship, even if we do so half-heartedly or hurriedly, or with questionable motives, God will take that worship, because the worship is what we offer to God, just as David did. And God will take our worship, God will take our love, God will take our adoration, and God will make all of that wonderful. Worship, coming to church, worshiping together, is our excuse to rejoice and delight in God, and God will turn and do exactly the same to us. But we remember that at times we're all broken yet beautiful. We are all coming before God to worship just as we are, just as the people that God has shaped and formed us to be. And we can all be shaped in different ways. Someone's brokenness might be hidden in the depths of their heart, while another's is going to be fully on display. But at times we're all broken, but we're also all equally beautiful in spite of our brokenness. And because we're beautiful, we're precious in the sight of God. And because of Jesus, we are all more than worthy of approaching God in our worship. King David, who was the ancestor of Jesus, seemed to know this truth so many hundreds of years before Jesus even came on the scene. David wasn't afraid to worship. He wasn't afraid to give his heart. So let's take the message from today, a simple and straightforward message. Come as you are, surrender your heart, worship the God who can bring you back to life again, broken but beautiful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.